Open your Bible to the book of Job, or spelled like Job, you open to Job, chapter 23. Job, chapter 23. I've been practicing about talking, doing exercises at the house. They told me to do this, and I'm going to tell you what they told me to do. Take you some water and drink it and put it in your throat, don't swallow it. Then take a deep breath and breathe. I drowned myself three times. I'm trying to keep practicing so I can overcome the limitation of my voice. I'm not sure if I'm doing it right or not. So just keep praying for me that the Lord will show favor. I went back to an old sermon tonight. Been a long time since I've even thought much about it, spoke about it. But about 20 years ago, I read a book. I've read more than one book in 20 years, but 20 years ago, I have a book in my library. It's called He's God and You're Not. So I didn't pull the book out. I just went back to some notes I made years ago. And I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight about He's God, we're not. So let's just say it together. He's God, we're not. Back years ago in the great doctrinal statements they were making for biblical purposes, they've come up with a conclusion. Here's the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. In their catechism, the chief end of man is to glorify God. Is to what? And to enjoy Him forever. Now that sounds like a mighty good slogan, but it's so rich and full of things that's hard for me to grasp. To be able to glorify God, I've been created for that purpose, Revelation 4:11. I've been made for the purpose, one purpose, and that's to glorify God. And boy, sometimes you feel like you've blown it. Sometimes you wonder if you've glorified Him much at all. But secondly, we are to enjoy Him forever. God didn't make man just to be in the garden. He made him there so he made fellowship with him, and God wanted to enjoy Adam. And He saw that Adam needed a helpmeet, so He made Eve. From his rib, Adam's rib. And Adam and Eve spent some time together in the garden when it was full of greatness and goodness and before sin entered the camp. But the reality was, God was really enjoying it. He'd come walking in the cool of the day, every day. Why'd He come walking? When He'd come walking in the cool of the day. Adam, how you doing? He had never had it before. Angels and beings He created, He could make them do anything they wanted to do. He wanted them to do. But He wanted man to worship Him and to magnify Him because He wanted to, not because He had to. And so He would say, Adam, how you doing? How's Eve doing? Wouldn't she nice to be for me to do that, to give you a woman like that? Adam says, wow, it was great, God. Wonderful. And then they went around the garden and maybe fellowshiped around some fruit trees, maybe enjoyed some fruit together. I'm not sure if God eats or not, but whether He does or doesn't, He likes for us to. When we meet together for fellowship, there's usually food involved, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to make the reality true in our life that we're supposed to glorify God. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Him. So said Augustine. One more time. Our hearts are restless until they find rest in Him. We were made for God, and we were made to know God. Let me say it again, then I'll get down the outline. We were made for God, and we were made to know God. The Apostle Paul had one desire after he got saved. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And may God help us tonight to glean the truth that will help us in life. Fundamentally, He is God and we're not. If you want to put it down on the bottom shelf where all of us can reach it tonight, He's God, I'm not. That changes my whole direction for my life. It gets my perspective back in line. It straightens me out when I get cattywampus. I am made for God. Whatever God wants is to be done. He is God, and I am not. Let's say it again. He is God, and I am not. Job 23:20-13. I'll read several scriptures tonight, especially out of the Old Testament, just to introduce you again, as I introduce myself again, to the great truth of him being God, and we're not. Verse 13. But he is one mind, and one can turn him. Who can turn him? Question. And what soul desireth, what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Whatever God desires, he can, that he wants, he can do it. He'll never do anything wrong because he's too holy to sin. But whatever it is, if he desired to have a man, he made a man. If he desired to have a woman, he made a woman from man's rib. If God desired to have it, he could do it. Anything God desires to have, he desires to have us one day in heaven, getting closer and closer to that reality. Not sure when the Lord's going to come, but things are really heating up in the Mideast more than we've seen in many, many years. And they talked about on the newscast today that something's brewing big in the Mideast. Now, whatever that may be, I don't know, but it all could all fit into the prophecy. I think about Brother Tommy. Two things got Tommy Marlowe pushed his button. One was politics, and the other was prophecy. So when we go out soul winning and visiting together, if it comes up in politics, I know Tommy's going to tell him what he thinks. You don't have to ask him his opinion. He's going to tell you his opinion. Same way about the coming of the Lord. And sometimes I say, Tommy, let's just talk about Jesus for a while and try to talk about the Lord. And Tommy said, I will. He says, he makes me mad though when somebody says this and does this, and I agree with him. I said, amen to everything he said. But sometimes we need our button pushed to realize that God is God and I'm not. He can do whatever he wants to do with my life. Well, I argue with God. Moses argued with God. I'm not great as Moses was, but sometimes you can argue with God. Maybe a better way to put it, just plead your case. Amber Towns wrote a book on quoting the scriptures back to God. God, you said here, you said this. You said you gave a promise here. Did you mean it? When you said you'd supply all of our need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Lord, that's what you said. Did you mean it? That's not being disrespectful. It's coming before God with questions on your mind, questions on your heart. Job 23:13, Job 42:2. Just over a few more chapters. Job was a classic book on understanding God a little better. Chapter 42 and verse 3, verse 2, verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything. Boy, what does everything mean? That's real good, class. I know that thou canst do anything, no, everything. And that no thought can be withholden from thee. He knows every thought there is to be thunk. He knows everything I think, everything I want to think, everything I'm thinking about think. He knows all about it. There's nothing that bypasses the scrutiny of God. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. You can think about things so great you can't grasp it. And you come to a conclusion after you think about it, meditate on it. Well, God knows it. God knows all about it. There's nothing God doesn't know. It's so great, it's too wonderful for me to even grasp. Even the secret things of the Lord he has that we never probably know in this world. We may know more of them when we get to heaven. But he wants us to know that he's God. So he keeps echoing the statement, I know that thou canst do everything. Let me ask you a question. Can God do everything, yes or no? Yes. Now let's answer real robustly. Can God do anything?
Yes.
Can God do everything?
Yes.
Why don't we trust him? Why do we sometimes talk ourselves out of it? Why don't we say, well, he's not going to answer my prayer? Or when is he going to answer my prayer? How come he doesn't answer my prayer? And I'm going to answer your question tonight with the scriptures. Look at Psalms 115:3. Psalms 115:3. But our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Whatever he pleased to do, he's done. Somebody says, I don't like it. Take it up with God. You say, well, I can change the mind of God. Not necessarily. He may see how sincere you are and how sincere I am. Prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. Somebody taught me years ago, if you pray for something regularly that you'd like for God to do, and then you quit praying, you didn't really want it bad enough. He said, you don't quit praying for something you think you really should have. You just keep praying. Well, what if the answer don't come in my lifetime? It may come after you die. On the timetable of God, it may come in different ways. Prayer is not always answered the way we think they should be answered. God has His own way of answering prayer. Sometimes it amazes us when we look back and see the hand of God. I thought about several things this past week, just in meditating with the Lord, of how great and good He is. And we say He's good, we say He's great, and He is. And yet sometimes we act like He doesn't really care about us. If He really cared, He wouldn't let me go through this. I wonder what He's trying to teach us. What's He trying to look on the other side? If God could look at my life and see I'm 78 years of age, He could see every step I'm going to take the rest of my life. He knows exactly where I'm going. And He probably knows, not probably, but He does know exactly what I need to get from here to there. But yet my human flesh kicks in. Yes, I've got to do all that I'm capable of doing. I have a free will. God didn't put Adam in the garden just to stand around. He put him in there to dress the garden and to work and be involved. It's not just saying, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. Lord, bless me as I work and as I go about my duty, as I seek to fulfill the will of God. What's the will of God? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Enjoy God for just want to enjoy you. Now, you may approach it differently, and everybody has different ways of maybe approaching God. I heard a preacher one time, he said, Lord, have you heard the latest joke? Like God had never heard it. He said, I'm going to tell you the latest joke. He said, such a good joke. And he said, just laughed and laughed. And in his mind, he says, I believe God laughed. Now, whether he did or not, I don't know. But there's nothing wrong with telling God what's on your mind. There's nothing rejoicing with the Lord over blessings. When something does happen, something good, boy, Lord, this is great. I'm just amazed at what you've done in my life. I'm amazed how you've answered prayer. I'm amazed. Then there ought to be a rejoicing shout going up toward heaven that God is doing something for us and in us, and wonderful it is. Psalms 135, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. In heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. Now that's too deep to grasp in the depths of it. But we can go a little deeper with the Lord. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He. I think God made everything that He made out there for us to enjoy. And I think when He made the universe and all the stars and all the galaxies, all the planets, He made them for us to enjoy. And many believe, and some believe, and I probably lean toward that, in eternity in our glorified body, we'll be able to travel at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light. And beings can travel real fast. I'm not sure how you would probably measure it. But according to those who even study scientific facts, the Lord can move fast. All He does is raise His hand and go up toward heaven. In just a few minutes, He's gone. He disappeared out of sight and went back and sat down at the right hand of God, of majesty. And I'm not saying dogmatically they will travel 186,000 miles per second, but it sounds logical to me. The angel of light can travel fast. The devil can travel fast. The devil can be in various places very quickly. He has an whole army of beings under him doing his duty. But I don't think the devil just stays one place. I think he's everywhere overseeing his work, which is evil and dirty and filthy and vile, has the desire to ruin, wreck, and destroy the plan of God. God says, I want you to glorify me. Glorify me. And I want you just to enjoy me. We sing a song sometimes, and many of us have heard it since childhood. He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. He walks with me. He talks with me. Now, I don't hear the audible voice of God. I've never heard God's voice audibly. If you have, fine. That's between you and God. But I've never heard the voice of God audibly. But I sure have sensed His presence in my life at times. My God is real. Mother used to say it so often when we were kids. My God is real. There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel Him down deep in my soul. My God is real, really in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And whether you can feel Him or not, faith says He's there. How do you know God lives on the inside of you? By faith. Can I prove there is a God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God began it all with Him speaking with His voice. And He said, let there be, and there was. God's powerful and mighty. And God can do anything He wants to that pleases Him. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder who you are. Up above the world so great to where the rest of that little course is. But God made a star for Him to enjoy. He made a star for us to enjoy. On a moonlight night, nothing more beautiful than a full moon and your wife or your husband beside you, and you're standing there looking at the full moon. The Lord just brings it over to you. And maybe there ought to be somewhere where we say, Lord, thank You for letting the moon shine on us. Thank God for moonshine. You can think that through just a minute. Thank God for sunshine. Thank God for rain. Thank God for storms. Willie Harrington does a Facebook chatter about every day. There's very few things he doesn't cover. He prays the Lord. He prays the Lord for this. He prays the Lord for that. He prays the Lord for everything that he can think of for that prayer time. It ought to be true in all of our lives that we praise the Lord regularly. Did you praise the Lord today or you left your room this morning? Did you think to pray? Or did you rush out in the day, as we so often do, without ever bowing your head and saying, Lord, I can't make it without You. And I'm here to glorify You. So, Lord, You're going to have to help me. Sometimes I don't do a very good job of it, Lord, because I want to do it my way. We're so fleshly and so selfish. But if You'll help me, Lord, I'll glorify You today. I want You to get glory for my life. I want folks to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the definition of Christianity. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in unity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He lives on the inside so He can be displayed on the outside. And being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is where God lets us, through the Holy Spirit, shine on the outside. Let your light so shine before who? Men, that they may see what? His good works. And glorify, there it is, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So everything that I do and everything that I say should resound to the glory of God. Boy, how sad when we come down to confession time. Lord, I didn't make You look good. How many times we've talked about that. Other preachers so eloquently have preached on it. I didn't make God look good today. I wonder what He thought about it. If my responsibility is to glorify God, did I? Or did I try to glorify myself? Did I enjoy God and all that He's done? That comes down to the rest of the Psalms. Those 150 song books and songs of the Bible are there to praise God. Praise God over and over again. And sometimes you can start counting how many times the word God is mentioned or how many times the word praise is mentioned. All great words, and you start circling hundreds of times throughout the Psalms. It all centers around this praising God. David said, 7 times a day will I praise the Lord. Daniel said, 3 times a day will I turn my face toward Jerusalem and pray. Well, if we pray 1 time a day, in getting along with God, we do well. But we ought to be more than just 1 time. We ought to be in that season of prayer to be able to stop and pray anytime, asking the Lord to help us. Fundamentally, the truth is He's God and we're not. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. Still in the Old Testament. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 22. Verse 20, chapter 2. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Are you ready? On the count of three, you say the same thing he said. One, two, three. Very good. Didn't hear nobody. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Say that. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His. I just need to remind this flesh of mine who's in charge. It's not me. God has to be in charge. And as the Holy Ghost works in our life, being filled means to be controlled. We talk about be not drunk with wine. When it's success to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled, F-I-L-L-E-D, in the Greek language, continual action, verb. It means to continually be controlled by the Spirit. Why in the world did the God of heaven put the Holy Spirit or allow the Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of us? He came upon folks in the Old Testament. To get the New Testament, He came to dwell in tabernacle inside of them. So on the day of Pentecost, that transition time, the Holy Ghost of God came to give power in our life. He came to dwell on the inside. And my body is not my own, it's been bought with a price. Wherefore, here it is, glorify Him. My body belongs to God, it's a temple of the Lord. And how many times we fail along that line. But everything's to be done for His glory. We were made for God, and we were made to know God. We were made for God, and we were made to know God. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34-35. Two long verses in the book of Daniel, several long passages. Verse 4. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. If you remember the story when he was judged by God. And I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever. There's that phrase Daniel was saying a while ago. Here you got Nebuchadnezzar saying it. I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and whose kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, but he that doeth according to the will of the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I may wonder what God is up to. I'm trying to think it through about the coming of the Lord, and I get bogged down. As I said to somebody in the office the other day, you reckon we're right? You reckon we got all of our scriptures lined up about the rapture, and we're not going to go through the tribulation period, and I know all the arguments back and forth of whether we're going to go through the tribulation or not, and I really believe we're not going to. But if you're wrong, you'll go through the tribulation period. And the Bible says things shall wax worse and worse until the end comes. And that last part of that tribulation period, thank God we're not going to be here with the first part. I think we'll be resting in the presence of the Lord. How do you know? Just to trust God. What if everything breaks out next week and everything goes to pot in America and America falls to communism in the upcoming election? I'm going to vote the opposite of that. I'm going to vote my conscience. Lord, I'll do what I can do, but I can't do what I can't do. I'm going to trust you. So, Lord, I want to vote what I believe would be the best ticket. And that's not always easy to do either in our society. God brings up kings and takes them down. Iran's trying to assassinate Mr. Trump and kill him because he killed one of theirs. And they've intensified the bodyguard around Mr. Trump to try to protect him. And he's going back to the place where he got shot at the first time in the ear. And you're taking on the whole mammoth army of Iran to try to find a way to kill the former president. United States of America. And I thought about it today. What if he gets killed? What would happen? Would the vice president, if he won the election, take over? I guess he would. Or if he loses the election, what would be next? How much do we hate a man or how much do we love a man? But the power does not lie in the political campaigns of individuals. The Lord breaks them up, takes them down. Down through history, God has used the heathen for his will. He's taken some of the most wicked people in all the world, and God has used them to fulfill his will. Amen. God has a way of working things out. Did you know all things work together for good? For them that what? Love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Did I ask you what the purpose was? The purpose is to glorify God. I can't claim Romans 8:28 unless my desire is to glorify God. If my desire is to get, and pamper me, I'm missing the will of God. God will bless you as you do his will according to his will. And you may be blessed beyond measure. I was mentioned to John Huss Sunday, he was burned at the stake, one of many that was burned at the stake. They hated him so much that after they burned him, they took his ashes and threw him in the Rhine River. They just wanted to get completely rid of him. And all he believed that was God's salvation was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John Huss, and most of the books you read about martyrs, when martyrs die, they die happy. You know why? Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I don't need dying grace yet. I need living grace. But there'll come a day when I'll need dying grace, when my lungs will stop functioning, when the throat no longer does what it's supposed to do. The day will come when I'll breathe my last breath, and the blood will congeal in my veins, and my heart will cease to beat, and my chin will drop on a pulseless chest, and I'll pass out of this world. We watched our good brother for the last several days. How many weeks did he lay over? Three weeks. Not eating. Just laying there. And just a blessing just to watch a man of God come down the end of his life. But everybody don't die like that. God have another choice for somebody else. Maybe a tragic way they die. They may die a terrible, terrible way of dying. He said, well, it's not fair. What God does for you, he may not do for your neighbor. What God does for your neighbor, he may not do for you. I can't compare. Well, you did it for him and you should have done it for me. I can remind God of the scriptures. It's what you said, Lord. I want to trust you. Trust and obey, for there's what? No other way to be happy but to trust and obey. Well, I'm trusting you, Lord. I want to make you look good best I can. And when I fail you, please forgive me and cleanse me by your blood. Thankful that you put up with us. But after a while, we ought to start living a kind of life that everything we do and everything we say glorifies God. If I would curse today and take God's name in vain, I would not glorify him. I would hurt him. If I violated some commandment, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Paul said, oh, that I may know him. The more you know him, the more you love him. The more you love him, the more you know him. And the more you love him, you don't have an argument with obeying him. See, the argument comes in when you don't love him. You come to the place in your own life that you love yourself. You love what you have and what you got more than what God allowed you to have. If God wants to give you everything in the world from the financial aspect and give you everything possible, that's great. Never get jealous of somebody else being blessed. For the good Lord giveth, and the good Lord take it away. What's the rest of that phrase? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here we are going through life. God seems to be blessing some folks more than me. But then you don't know when God may take it away from them, and you don't know what they may do with what they got. They may find themselves doing more for God than they've ever done before. I believe the more God blesses you, the more you ought to do. He did not bless us just to have. He blessed us to give. For it's more blessed to give than it is to what? To receive. So the blessed comes in giving, not the receiving. God gives it to you. And Daniel, who spent most of his time in the Babylon captivity, is one of the great men, great counselors, great man to the kings of his day. Started as a young man and refusing to bow and refusing to obey the king. But he had such wisdom. I mean, my Lord, no, the Lord can reveal these things from heaven. And so God blessed him, and the more he blessed him, the more he blessed him, and the more he blessed him, the more he blessed him. It's amazing how God can take our lives and bless them over and over again. And sometimes he just takes things away. We get too comfortable, get too used to things that sometimes God doesn't let us have them. Let's read one more verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 11 in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote in the great theological book, Romans, to me, probably one of the deepest books in the Bible next to Hebrews. What a great book it is. A theological discourse on salvation from cover to cover. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of his riches. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Question. Or who hath been his counselor? Am I counselor to God? God knows everything. He's all wisdom. Was Job a counselor to God? He ought to go to God for counseling. And the men who come to counsel him should have come in the name of the Lord. Maybe they did, some of it. Or who hath given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's read it one more. That's a great verse, isn't it? Yeah. That's where you cut the end. Amen. You say amen. Then you say glory to God. Then you shout hallelujah. Okay? For of him, and through him, and to him, and all things to him, or to whom be glory forever. Amen. Keep going, rather than speaking tongues. For glory forever, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He wrote that to the church of Rome. But for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever, amen and amen. Everything in the universe is either caused by God or allowed by God. You say, well, I understand that. Welcome to the club. You didn't make God, he made you. And if he wants to do something, he can do anytime he wants to. Everything in the universe is either caused by God or allowed by God. Nothing ever just happens. God is in control of everything. Why, oh, why has he come to my life? I don't know the question, answer altogether. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew chapter 6. The more I can trust God, the more he trusts me. The more I can love him, the more I want to obey him. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. It's not easy to obey God all the time, because he'll put you in some predicaments that allows you to get into them. And sometimes you don't know what to say. Our God reigns over all things, every situation, best and worst that happens to us. He reigns over his friends and his enemies. He reigns over heaven and hell, those who doubt him and those who deny him, those who follow other gods and other religion. But our God reigns supreme. There's only one God. He is the Lord Jehovah God. There's not many gods. There's only one God. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And I can rejoice in the blessings of the Lord. Would you pray for me that God would help me to be like that? I'll pray for you. Wouldn't it be great if our church was electrified by one thought? He's God. So next time we start singing congregationally, you're like, I can't sing good at all. And that's not a place for an amen out there. But I can't sing very good at all. I'm worse now since I got through trouble. I was preparing a sermon today, and I wanted to sing this song so bad, and trying to get it out, it wouldn't come out. And I said to the Lord, Lord, it's not fair. I just want to sing a song to you. And in my mind, subconsciously, he said, he didn't speak to me. He just impressed on me. Just read it. Read the song. I'll hear it. And if I can't read it, I can meditate on it. He'll hear it. He goes way down deep in our life and wants to bless us. And you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that God's will can be accomplished in all of our lives. He reigns. He's God, and you're not. Hallelujah. Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
Now, you got a down pat. Do I have a down pat? About 12 o'clock tonight, when things are not going well, can we wake up and say, God, you're in charge? Don't take all the fears away immediately. We all have things that sometimes shake us. We can be oh so tough. Just trust God. Well, until you get there, just trust God, Terry. Then when the next person comes, boy, it's not as easy as I thought it was. But you just trust God. Where could I go seeking a refuge for my soul? Where could I go but to the Lord? Ain't no place else to go to, and He's waiting with His nail-scarred hands. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's stand together, please.